नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत आदि लीला चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट नंबर 96। राधा पूर्ण शक्ति कृष्ण पूर्ण शक्तिमान। दुई वस्तु भेद नाई शास्त्र प्रमाण। राधा पूर्ण शक्ति कृष्ण पूर्ण शक्तिमान। दुई वस्तु भेद नाई शास्त्र प्रमाण। राधा पूर्ण शक्ति कृष्ण पूर्ण शक्तिमान। दुई वसु भेद नाई शास्त्र प्रमाण। राधा पूर्ण शक्ति कृष्ण पूर्ण शक्तिमान। दुई वस्तु भेद नाई शास्त्र प्रमाण।
राधा पूर्ण शक्ति कृष्ण पूर्ण शक्तिमान।
राधा पूर्ण शक्ति कृष्ण पूर्ण शक्तिमान।
वस्तु भेद नाई शास्त्र प्रमाण।
दुई वस्तु भेद नाई शास्त्र प्रमाण।
लेडीज,
राधा पूर्ण शक्ति कृष्ण पूर्ण शक्तिमान। दुई वस्तु भेद नाई शास्त्र प्रमाण। राधा पूर्ण शक्ति कृष्ण पूर्ण शक्तिमान। दुई वस्तु भेद नाई शास्त्र प्रमाण।
राधा श्रीमती राधा रानी पूर्ण शक्ति द कंप्लीट एनर्जी कृष्ण लॉर्ड कृष्ण पूर्ण शक्तिमान द कंप्लीट पोजेसर ऑफ एनर्जी। दुई टू वस्तु थिंग्स भेद डिफरेंस नाई देर इज नॉट शास्त्र प्रमाण द एविडेंस ऑफ रिवील्ड स्क्रिप्चर। ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद। श्री राधा इज द फुल पावर एंड लॉर्ड कृष्ण इज अ पोजेसर ऑफ फुल पावर। द टू are not different as evidenced by the revealed scriptures.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupak Dhamayam दधाति स्वापदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहम् श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं तं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्री राधा कृष्ण पदा सहगुणा ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये तप्त कांचना गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण Today we are, all of us, the recipients of Supreme Mercy already, because we have gathered here on the holiest of holy days, the appearance day of the Supreme Goddess, our most worshipable Srimati Radharani. I must admit my genuine disqualification in being able to even do the slightest justice to this very, very confidential subject. And I feel more acutely than ever about my inadequacies of life in being able to speak on a person who is so very great that even Krishna does not understand her. So, what to talk of tiny jivatmas, what do we really understand about her? In an extremely feeble attempt to speak about her glories, we shall altogether participate in a discussion which will hopefully inspire us to become even more dedicated than we are as humble servants of Srimati Radharani. As this particular slok is saying, Sri Radha is the full power and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are non-different as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. Rajavidya Raja Guhyam. Spiritual life is a subject of a very confidential nature. And especially when it comes to subjects of Radha and Krishna, as Prabhupada says, they are a puzzle, a great puzzle for anyone to understand. Even the soul is so difficult to understand. How the soul is really working in this world and making the powerful elephants move and the whales move and the how amoeba is moving and how we are functioning. The soul is actually a very mysterious particle. And the biggest brains in the world don't understand the real God particle. Not the hypothetical, illusory God particle. So when the soul itself is so difficult, and Shastras will give so much evidence to understand what the soul is, and even then most learned scholars don't understand what the soul is. Prabhupada says Professor Kotowski could not understand there is reincarnation because the soul never dies. So, here is our level, that we are unable to understand truly the nature of our own self, the soul. Or talk of understanding this material world and its complexities. How much research, how many journals, how much of billions of dollars to understand what this material nature is all about. There are more than about 3 lakhs of medical journals in this world. There's medical journals. What to talk of all the journals of different other things. All talking about research and all. So it is so difficult to understand even material nature. And then Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita that I have not understood Namavidu Suragana, great demigods, Maharishis cannot understand me. Krishna is not understandable. As a very, very, very difficult person to understand. He is so great. As Prabhupada says sometimes, you know, everyone says God is great. But that's a very, very poor statement, understatement. God is supremely great. Supremely great. And there is nobody greater than Him. Mataha parataram nanyat. So Krishna Himself is so great, and we jivatmas, we may think as devotees, you know, we are fledgling devotees in this moment, we may think that, oh, of course I understand Krishna. I mean, what do you mean you don't understand Krishna? I do understand Krishna. I mean, last 20 years I've been studying about Him. But then we fall flat in our nose in shame when we really hear the prayers of Lord Brahma, who's at least 1 quadrillion times more intelligent than us, to say the least. Because he knows material nature, he knows its creation. And he offers his prayers in 14th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Said, let anybody say what they want to say. But I must admit here very, very frankly, in front of all of, in front of everybody, for the whole world to know, for all times to come, that I admit I don't understand, I don't even begin to understand who you are, dear Krishna. Who's saying this? The supreme authority in this entire creation is saying, I don't begin to understand Krishna. So, we should hold our statements back if we think we don't understand Krishna. We really don't understand anything of anything practically. We are complete fools. And that's the way we learn from our spiritual masters. When we stand in front of our spiritual masters with the attitude of being a fool, then we understand something, because that attitude of humility will allow some knowledge to sink and percolate down into our consciousness. Otherwise we'll be only hovering on the intellectual platform of understanding, which you think is real, but it is not real, because intelligence is material, it is not spiritual. It's matter. Intelligence cannot really hold anything substantial, spiritual. It has to come into the level of the heart. So now I'm going to talk about somebody who is beyond Krishna. Right? We can talk of Krishna's personal life, His personal pastimes. So if Krishna is so difficult to understand, how can we really begin to understand Srimati Radharani? Right? So, what we are trying to communicate is that this is a very, very lofty subject matter. However abused it has been in the material world by being misappropriated, misdisplayed, as something very cheap and lowly and amorous in nature. We Vaishnavas are going to be extremely careful in even approaching the zone of the pure realm of love of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. And if we do not have a proper attitude, spiritual life is all about attitudes. It's not about knowledge. It is not about knowledge. It is not about jnana. It's about the proper attitudes towards the jnana. And if we don't have the proper attitudes, we will absolutely miss the point. We will just miss the point. Even in scientific circles, unless you have a proper means to approach the experiment you're performing, the means are very important. If you have the right means, then you reach the right conclusions. In mathematics, you have to use a formula to get the right conclusion. Similarly, in spiritual life, without the proper means, we will not reach the proper conclusions of love of God. The goal is love of God, but the proper means are important. So, Srila Prabhupada has warned us, the acharyas have warned us to get rid of our conditioned thinking of what Radha Krishna is all about. There is absolutely nothing material about that relationship. Because we have seen so much of perversion in this world at all times. In fact, we have been involved in that perversion ourselves. Right? So to look through a lens of complete perversion and distorted consciousness, we are obviously going to think of Radha Krishna in a very, very distorted manner because of our distorted consciousness. Right? So unless you look at them with a pure mind, the pure heart, you will not be able to see their purity of relationship. There is nothing material in that relationship. There is nothing sexual. There is nothing amorous. There is nothing mundane. It is absolutely 100% pure subject matter. No matter what the world has displayed it as. And therefore we find that most of the scriptures don't even talk about this subject. The scripture is supposed to be giving knowledge to mankind. But most scriptures don't even talk about Radha and Krishna at all. At all. And talk about, they talk about Krishna also in a very indirect manner, in fact. The Upanishads talk of Krishna in a very indirect manner. So they even don't approach Radha Krishna's pastimes. They're extremely cautious. Vyasadeva is extremely cautious in doing this. Only after his dissatisfaction of writing so many Puranic literatures, four Vedas, 100 Upanishads and many other scriptures, when he went to his Guru Maharaj, Narad Muni, then he said, okay, now you write about the exclusive scripture which talks about the purity of Shuddha Bhakti. And then he brought forth the scripture called as Srimad Bhagavatam. And that doesn't begin with Radha Krishna, it begins with that Krishna's lotus feet, which drives you upwards, gradually into levels of purity, where you understand what is Krishna's glory. His various avatars are explained. So difficult to understand Krishna's avatars. Krishna coming up from a pillar, when we say he's accepted for granted, but it's a very mysterious thing. Krishna coming out, Krishna manifesting himself as a huge form of Trivikrama, or holding a size of, I don't know how much, 800 million miles of Kurma avatar. Hare Krishna. No, even Krishna baffles us completely. How can you have a tortoise which is 800 million miles in size? We have seen tortoises which are, you know, so small, less than a feet. Right? Krishna is just a huge tortoise. And this is just a small fragmental portion of Krishna's expansion. So even we have tough time appreciating that. And then gradually, only in the 10th canto, Vyasadeva begins to write about Krishna's pastimes as coming from the lips of Sukadeva Goswami. And even then we understand that Srimati Radharani's name is not even mentioned even once in the 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Not even once her name is mentioned. Even though the entire scripture as such is designed to bring us to Radha Krishna, to bring us to Vrindavan, to bring us to the purity of love of the Brijvasis, it is designed to bring us to that level of pure love and its understanding in its complete fullest manifestation. Even then the author, the speaker, do not even mention the name of Srimati Radharani. That's how sacred her name is. That's how pure she is, and that's how confidential she is. So we cannot just feel like Sahajya saying Radhe Radhe, you know, in a very cheap manner. It's not a cheap thing to say Radhe Radhe. We may say it, but there has to be a deep sense of complete reverence and a level of complete sanctity to even utter that name, Sri Radha. Because even Shuddha Goswami does not dare to speak this. In front of whom? He is not sitting in front of materialistic people. Sitting in front of big, big, powerful yogis, tapasvis, jnanis, siddhas, and even in front of them he doesn't want to enter the net of Radha. Right? And that is one of the reasons why he would not speak Radha's name. Further, it is explained that of course Sukadeva Goswami is Srimati Radharani's parrot, a very confident associate of Srimati Radharani. and is uttering her name. Her name is so imbued with love for Krishna. She is Mahabhava Swarupini, embodiment of the highest ecstatic potency towards Sri Krishna. That's her swabhav. That's her very existence. She is Mahabhava Swarupini. Right? So to utter her name, which is so full with ecstatic love, would immediately drown Shukdev Goswami in a pool of ecstasy of such an uncontrollable nature that he would not be able to recite and do his service of giving his narrations to the audience, and especially Parikshit Maharaj, which has to finish in just 7 days. The time limit is there. It's actually a deadline, because he will be dead after that. So yeah, there's a deadline, actual deadline. So he had to finish what he had to finish. So then he would not utter her name, because if he goes into a trance, he won't get up. Right? So these are the important reasons to understand that Radharani's spirit is very confidential. So whether it is Srimati Radharani or it is Vrindavan, we must always hold these subjects and these places, holy places like Barsana, Raval, Vrindavan, in very, very high esteem within our minds. The holy Jamuna, the greatest and the purest hill of all hills, the worshipable Govardhan Hill, they are all very high subjects and objects of reverence and worship, which we can never ever make the tremendous mistake of taking them as ordinary. Nothing in spiritual life is ordinary except our stupid consciousness. Only we are ordinary, that's all. We are completely ordinary. In fact, we are extraordinarily ordinary. But the whole world sees otherwise. They see Radha Krishna as ordinary. What a pity. So we have to go as only by the paramparaic understanding and not deviate. What is the nature of Srimati Radharani? Krishna has got three potencies primarily. His Parashati Vivdhaiva Sroyate, many, many potencies. Three primary divisions: Bahiranga Shakti, external energy, predominated by Durga Devi. Jiva Shakti, which is all of us, the marginal potency of the Lord. And then you also have the internal Shakti or the Antaranga Shakti. That is Krishna's own personal Shakti. We say in this verse, Krishna is Purna Shakti Man. So we must understand what a Krishna Shakti is first, before we understand the internal part. He is full of all these three Shaktis. So there are three primarily internal Shaktis. Okay? Three parts of the Antaranga Shakti of the Lord: Sandhini, Samvit, and Ladhini. It is these three Shaktis which manifest the entire spiritual world, inasmuch as the Bhairanga Shakti manifests the entire material world. Right? So everything in the spiritual world is understood on the level of these three Shaktis. Everything is a manifestation of these three energies. Sandhini is the Shakti, which is the Shakti which on which Krishna's own existence is based. His existence is based on the presence of the Sandhini Shakti. And the essence of this Sandhini Shakti is Shuddha Sattva. Everything, Krishna, his parents, his bed, his land, his Vrindavan, the trees, the creepers, the birds, everything is a manifestation of Shuddha Sattva. That is the essence of the Sandhini Shakti, which is the basis of Krishna's existence. The second is called as Samvit, the potency of cognizance. The cognitive potency of the Lord is called as Samvit, which is called, can be also called as knowledge. Vit means knowledge. It is by this Shakti that the Lord knows himself, and the Jivatmas know the Lord. So when we are best blessed by the Samvit's potency, we begin to understand what is Krishna. we get cognizance of Krishna's nature. The basis of that is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the essence of the Samish Shakti. And the third Shakti is that Shakti which gives Krishna himself pleasure. And if Krishna is the enjoyer, then he is to enjoy. Right? But Krishna never enjoys anything inferior to him. He has to enjoy something which is equal to him in potency, in quality. So there is no question of even thinking that Krishna ever enjoys the material world or material relationships of dancing other people's wives. Because to become pure, you meditate on Krishna. And that takes you out of the material energy. So that which is so pure, Jiva Goswami says, is so pure that transcendental is meditated on him to go out of the material world. How will that person meditate on the material world and enjoy that relationship? It's a very powerful logic of Jiva Goswami. So the world looks at Krishna as dancing with other people's wives in a material way, and then they have this dandiya phandiya and everything else. Right? Which is a complete perversion, complete utter perversion, demoniac in nature, absolutely worthy of no sanctity whatsoever. Complete offense to the Lord. It's offensive, it's highly sinful to even go to even see these places and even get those vibrations hitting your consciousness. Right? It's so contaminated with the mode of complete tamogun and rajagun. And we're talking about sattva, sudha, sattva stage. There's nothing sudha about that whatsoever. We all know that material world is ultimately a perverted place, the inverted reflection, and Dandaras is a classic example of that. Of the pure rasa lila of Radha and Krishna. Right? So this is the understanding. So Krishna has to really enjoy something which is of his equal nature. Therefore, he expands into two. Into a person which will fulfill his need for giving him pleasure. So it is like one enjoying into. Now this is a very transcendental thing. How can one enjoy into two? Two can enjoy two. If there are two, then they enjoy each other or whatever. But how can one enjoy into two? This is transcendental mystery. Right? So they have the same nature. Radha Krishna dui deha eka atma dui deha dhari. It is only one atma. But dui deha dhari. So we should not make the mistake of understanding them as two different. They are actually one. Inasmuch as the sun and the sunlight are one, and the heat and the fire are also one. But the most important part to understand as sadhakas is that you can't approach the sun without going through the sunlight. We will never see the sun ever in our life if we don't take shelter of the sunlight. And we can never approach the fire unless we go through the experience of heat. Right? Similarly, if you have to approach Krishna, who is so unapproachable, even through the Vedas, right? Brahma Samhita says that, Atma Bhakto, Vedesh Durlabham, Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. Vedas cannot approach Krishna. But if you want to approach Krishna at all, which is the goal of our life, we are Krishna's servants. It is revealed through Sanatana Goswami very clearly, Jivara Swarup Hoy. We are his eternal servants. And we want to serve him. We want to desperately serve him and not serve our senses and this material world and material relationships. We want to serve wholesale Krishna. He's object of all love and service. But we have to understand how to serve Krishna. So if we have to approach the Supreme Shakti, the Supreme Shakti Man, Krishna, we have to go through his Shakti, his Ladini Shakti. If we have, because through that potency, there's only one potency through which Krishna gains pleasure. So when you serve that Shakti, then Krishna gets experience of your service, which gives him what? Experience of pleasure. So if we have to give pleasure to Krishna, and of course we want our pleasure, service to give pleasure to Krishna, otherwise why are we serving him? Right? If the service is not going to please our master, then why do we serve him? We want to serve Krishna, and we want to serve in such a way that he also pleases him. But we have to root that service through the pleasure giving potency of Krishna, that is Srimati Radharani. in Sri Vrindavan Dham, the time when Saraswati Thakur was walking with his disciples. And a very rich person, a very rich merchant, almost royal person, was circumambulating Sri Radha Kund by Dandavat Parikrama. Everyone, all of us have seen that modality of worship, where you stand in one place and offer flat Dandavat pranams to the Govardhan and Radha Kund on the right side of your body. You get up and then you put again your legs where your head was, and you go on like this, circumambulate the entire Radha Kund area. And the disciple was very much, look at this devotion. What devotion is this? He says, Guru Maharaj, this is such a wonderful exhibition of devotion. How wonderful this person is worshipping Sri Radha Kund. Saraswati Thakur said, yes. But there is a very great difference between his understanding and the understanding of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. He is worshipping Sri Radha Kund nicely, thinking that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Srimati Radharani is his greatest devotee. And since he wants to have her blessings and please Krishna, he is worshipping Radha Kund like this. The Gaudiyas think differently. We think that the supreme worshipful person in our life is Srimati Radharani. And we worship Krishna because he happens to be connected with Radharani. Because Krishna loves her so much, therefore we worship Krishna. So in the Gaudiya line, please try to understand that even though we say that Shakti and Shaktiman are one, the Vedantic philosophy explains that energy, energetic are one. This is the Vedantic understanding of Siddhanta. There is no difference between the Shakti and the Shaktiman. They are actually one. But when we enter the zone of Rasa Tattva, of rasas, of mellows, then we see that actually Sri Radharani excels Sri Krishna. The whole world, for the whole world, Krishna is all attractive, right? Krishna actually is all attractive. Millions of cupids, Kandarpa Kotika Mani Vishesha Shobham Govindam. Govindam is so, Krishna is so beautiful. And he actually is so beautiful. I mean, Indra is very beautiful also. The demigods are extremely beautiful, being bodies made of sattva guna. They are very beautiful people. But the body of Indra is sthula deha. And many apsaras may be attracted to him, to serve him. But we go in the realm of purity, of higher levels. Because Brahma's body is full of intelligence only. There is no flesh. Right? So we can be more subtle bodies, more pure bodies. When you cross the viraja, there is nothing material anymore. Only pure. So Krishna's body is pure. Sachitananda vigraha. So Radharani's body also is completely pure, Sachitananda Vigraha. It is nothing material about it. So as we go higher and higher, we understand this particular phenomena, that Krishna, Radharani's body is completely pure. There's nothing material, there's no blood, there's no flesh. And Krishna attracts millions of cupids, who become completely baffled when they see Krishna's beauty. But where is Krishna attracted to whom? What baffles Krishna? What makes the cupids look at Krishna and then the bow and arrow just falls from their hands? They just cannot shoot an arrow at Krishna because Krishna is overwhelms them with his beauty. So Kamadeva is completely incapacitated in looking at Krishna. But when Krishna looks at Radharani, he is completely bewildered by her beauty. What is the reason of Radharani being so beautiful? She is beautiful because of the beauty of her love for Krishna. So that's what makes Radharani so beautiful. She's of course always very young. Gokula Taruni Mandala Mohite. Krishna is always in the spiritual world. Krishna is always in the Kaishora stage. Very young boy. Radharani is eternally very young. Her lotus feet are very divine. She has got 19 beautiful signs on her lotus feet, divine lotus feet. It is explained that, of course, in Krishna's pastimes, in the spiritual world, that he has so many gopis who are serving him with love. And once Krishna was actually there with a great gopi called as Viraja. And Krishna was very pleased to accept her service. Now please understand, we're talking about pure service. This is nothing mundane about this. In pure love, she's offering her seva to Sri Krishna through her singing, through her beautiful kunja she had made and prasad she was offering to the Lord. When Srimati Radharani learns of this, she becomes very, very angry. Srimati Radharani's anger also, just like her, is very pure. Whatever emotion Radharani goes through is only to enhance Krishna's love for her. That's all. Only one purpose, a very pure purpose. Only to increase Krishna's love for her, that's all. And give Krishna pleasure. And then see Radharani, when she understands that Krishna is a Samadhar Gopi, then she marches to her, to that kunj of Viraja, in a beautiful, beautiful chariot. If you listen to the description of the chariot, you'll be bewildered. So I'll bewilder you for a while. The chariot is 100 yojanas tall. You see chariots here, right? Arjuna's chariot, Krishna's chariot, we have seen Ravan's chariot, powerful. Maricha's chariot. You've seen some of the chariots I explained. Ravana's chariot was very, Matali, or Indra's chariot, very powerful, 1,000 horses. But this chariot is 100 yojanas tall, 100 yojanas wide, 10 yojanas wide. It has 100,000 rooms inside that. And 100,000 wheels run this chariot. We are in the spiritual world now, so stop thinking materially. We are not talking about a mundane Rolls Royce car, with some stupid rubber tires. The tires are made up of pure precious jewels. 3 million kalashas are there. Anyway, this is the chariot. This is the personal chariot of Srimati Radharani. And she has 630 million gopi assistant friends. Spiritual world, it's unlimited. So they go towards this kunja, and as soon as Viraja comes to that, Krishna has come, Krishna just escapes from there and disappears, and then Viraja, she turns into a beautiful river, the Viraj River. We know the Viraj is boundary between the spiritual and material world. This river also has 100 million miles in length. 100 million yojanas, nothing is mile. Mile is our mundane. 100 million yojanas wide and 100 yojanas in diameter. Anyway, she's fantastic. And then, of course, Krishna disappears and Radharani is very, very angry, and there's a whole beautiful pastime given about how she talks with Sridhama, who's guarding this place, and there's a big controversy takes place over there, and Radharani just pushes Sridhama aside. You get away from this place. he's a guard there with all his gopas, and he's just get aside, and let me see who's inside. And Krishna has disappeared, Rajara has disappeared also as a river, and then she comes out, and there's a big transcendental angry conversation between Sridhama and Srimati Radharani. And in the process, they curse each other. There was some leela for the Lord, for them to come here, right, to the material world. So said, you will be born as a demon, Radharani says. And you have to go to the material world. He said, you also will go to the material world. You will go to Bhuloka, right? You will be separated from your Lord for 100 years. So this particular cursing, counter-cursing type of thing which takes place actually is a beautiful reason for Radharani to come to this material world. And Sridhama comes in this world as Sankhachuda, a demon, who is here in this world for 500 yugas, and then ultimately Krishna delivers him. Right? So this is a pastime which is the beginning of the descent of Srimati Radharani into this world. Nonetheless, Srila Radha in the process makes a beautiful, beautiful kunja for Krishna, just to attract Krishna towards her. A beautiful kunja of so many forest flowers, bumblebees, mallika, jasmine flowers, beautiful peacocks and birds and fragrances. She calls Ganga, she calls Jamuna, and they make a moat around as a protective, beautiful, nice river around this forest. And then she begins to play her beautiful transcendental flute. And she attracts Madan Mohan Krishna towards her. And when Krishna comes there, he is so much overwhelmed with love for Srimati Radharani that she has made this whole forest for his exclusive pleasure. And then Krishna says, this forest will be called as Navavrindavan. And the wise will know this as Navadvip. So Navadvip is a forest is made personally by the hands of Srimati Radharani. Therefore it is very, very dear to Radha and Sri Krishna. And Krishna blesses this forest by saying that anyone who comes here and serves us will attain the eternal mood of service of the Brijvasis. And all the holy persons will reside over here together. So we understand that to approach Vrindavan Dham, we have to, just like to approach Krishna, we have to go through Lord Chaitanya. To approach Vrindavan, we have to go through Navadvip. Because it is Radharani's own personally created forest. For Krishna's exclusive pleasure. Right? So then, of course, the descent of Radharani and Krishna is explained. So there are various stories of how Radharani descended to this world. One of the stories given is like this. And once a parvat called as Vindhya Parvat felt envious of the Himalayas. So many mountains are envious of each other. This material world is based on the principle of dvesha. Everything here and everyone here is infected with this very, very, very negative emotion of envy. So Vindhya is also, you know, envious of Himalaya because he has Parvati, who is such a powerful daughter, to have Mahadev as his son-in-law. So he wanted to have a daughter. Vindhya Parvat, her daughter, who would be so powerful so as to conquer Mahadev in war. This is his idea. So then he performs tapasya and then he pleases Brahma. And Brahma said, okay, I want to have a daughter who would be so glorious to marry a particular husband who will defeat Mahadev in battle. Brahma says, tathastu. It's alright. But Ravindra says, what did I say? Who will defeat Mahadev in war? Mahadev is Mahadev. People cry to him when before they start the war, they say Harar Mahadev. The battle of Pandavas and Kauravas is Harar Mahadev, Harar Mahadev. So he is the one who blesses the war, the warriors with the fighting spirit, and he blesses them with his own Shakti. So then he said, who will defeat Mahadev in war now? Only one person can do that, that is Krishna. That means Krishna has to come as Vindhya Parvat's son-in-law. Okay. That means Vidya must get Radharani as a daughter. Okay. So it's a little bit puzzle for him. How to make Radharani become Vidya Parvat's daughter? So it became like a big thing for him. So he went into meditation. Because his boon cannot go in vain. And he pleased Sri Radhika. And expressed to her that this is what is supposed to happen. So then it is arranged very beautifully. The whole pastime is explained. That a big yajna is performed and then by Vindhya Parvat, and Krishna and Srimati Radharani is born as the daughter of Rishabhanu, and Chandravali is going to be born as the daughter of, she's actually in the womb of Chandrabhanu and Rishabhanu, Chandravali and Radharani in the wombs of the wives of Rishabhanu and Chandrabhanu. Just like that. So now from there, they are supposed to be transferred, correct? So what really happens is, Yogamaya transfers these two divine children from the wombs of the wives of Rishabhanu and Chandrabhanu to the womb of the wife of Vindhya Parvat. Correct? And then when they are born, there is a big yaga, big celebration. These two beautiful daughters are born to the wife of Vindhya Parvat. And there are so many sacrifices and mantra uchar and big celebration. But at a particular point of time when Krishna was born, this is almost contemporary to Krishna's birth, when Krishna was also born in Mathura, and then as we know, the transfer to Gokul. But then when, and then Vasudeva went to Gokul and fetched the daughter of Yashoda, who is of course Yogamaya. And when Kamsa held Yogamaya and wanted to smash her, even though she was a girl, and this daughter revealed that actually you are, the killer is already born, number one. And number two, you are the same person as Kalanemi, who is going to be killed by same person in this life also. And there are 8 Mahashaktis who will also be born tomorrow. So that also was revealed to Kamsa. So Kamsa becomes so scared, and then he will have husbands who will be the emperors of this world. So he knew there is a big competition for him now. Because once again, he is the most powerful. So he knew that these two powerful Mahashaktis will have husbands who will conquer him. So then he fetches Putana and tells her that you destroy all the boys born and abduct all the girls born also. So Putana is in an aerial survey, finding out where these, you know, what's happening in which place. And then she kidnaps these two daughters of Vindhya Parvat. And she's flying them in the sky. She's Khechari, she can fly. And when she's flying, the Vindhya Parvat says to the Brahmanas that, please destroy her right now. So that she releases my children. As mantras are being chanted, Putana becomes slackened in her power. And she's not able to hold these two babies anymore. So one drops at Vidarbha, where the great Bhishmaka fetches her and raises her up for five years, and she becomes a great Chandravali. Right? Jamalanga then fetches her and brings her back. And this other daughter was dropped as she enters Braja. Right? And as soon as she drops, Purnamasi is like the Yogamaya potency of the Lord, she's always orchestrating every event which takes place. So that's got a radar or whatever you call it. She has her potencies whereby she can understand what's happening in Braja. And she goes and fetches this girl and gives it to back to them, back to Mukhara Devi. Mukhara Devi is the grandmother. I said, this girl will be your the daughter of your son-in-law. So that's how again Srimati Radharani comes there. Anyway, so in this way Radharani is born into this world. And there are various other stories given also. But there's one verse in which we heard most commonly is about when Vrishabhanu Maharaj, because he didn't have children, he's meditating, he goes to Raval and goes and meditates on the bank of the Jamuna, because the bank of rivers are very auspicious for getting children, it says. And then he sees a beautiful 1,000-petal golden lotus flower which comes floating along the beautiful Jamuna. And his eyes open, he sees this beautiful baby inside. And Brahmaji comes and tells him that this baby is the Supreme Goddess of Fortune, and she will be your daughter. And then she gives it to Kirtida. So there are several versions of Radharani's birth in different kalpas. She is born in different ways. So then there is great rejoicement at Radharani's birth. But there is one problem. What is the problem? It appears that she is not able to see or speak or even hear. She is deaf, dumb and blind. And the news of Radharani's birth is spread around. There's a big function, everything else. And many people are invited by Vrishabhanu and Kirtida Mataji to come into the palace for bless. But there's a subdued amount of pleasure in one sense, because they see that the daughter is really not really to the born to the fullest with all her potencies, with all her faculties. And then Narada Muni comes in. And he comes to Krishna's place and see Krishna is born, and he also realizes that now that Krishna is born, his eternal consort is born somewhere, and he goes to various Vribhasi's house and figures out that she is born in the house of Vrishabhanu Maharaj. And he goes inside, Vrishabhanu Maharaj says, yes, I have this beautiful son. So Narayan blesses him, oh, he be Krishna and Balram's nice, beautiful friend. And we also have a daughter, if you can just kindly bless the daughter to become normal, we'll be very pleased with you. So Narayan goes inside the chambers. And the moment she sees the beauty of this young girl, because you know she is the embodiment of all beauty. Her beauty is so great that she attracts Krishna, who is already himself so beautiful, right? So we cannot compare a small girl of this material world, born in this amniotic fluid, to be anywhere close to this beauty, right? So In this way, Srimati Radharani is there, and Radharani offers beautiful prayers to her of complete surrender and devotion. And then she manifests a Kaishori form, and that form is sometimes, you know, as one of the Brijbasis drew this picture and gave it as a painting to Radhanath Swami as a memento when he was leaving Vrindavan to go to New Vrindavan. And we have seen that picture. It is one of the rare collection which Radhanath Swami has got in his personal. He has hardly anything in his personal, you know, possessions except his love for Krishna, his faith in Guru, and some of these beautiful pictures which are given by Brijbasis system. So in this picture is the same vision which Radharani is said as a beautiful young girl with her, you know, with a sari waist like this, and she is with a head red color sari. Some of you may have seen that picture of Radharani like that. And then when all the other people also come, Krishna also comes along with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And as everyone is inviting each other and talking about various things and sharing happiness, Krishna sneaks into the inner rooms, right? And this particular picture which we are seeing right now is what really happened. Krishna just crawls up to the cradle of Srimati Radharani, right? And Radharani is still eyes closed, doesn't appear to hear anything. And Krishna just comes and with his beautiful, soft, resplendent, transcendental touch, touches Sri Radharani, right? And the moment Radharani feels Krishna's love and his affection and purity of his touch, then she immediately opens her eyes. Srimati Radharani ki. She didn't want to see anything of this stupid world, of this jada world of matter. She just wanted to see first Krishna, the only object of her love. So she began to listen, she began to speak, she began to see. This is very important for all of us to understand this Leela. That this is the qualification for becoming servants of Sri Radharani. To use our body only for Radharani and Krishna's pleasure. To use our faculties, we say that Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. We have this body which God has given us. We abuse this body for sense gratification, for fulfilling our individual selfish material desires based on what the concocted mind, perverted mind creates. But this body is only meant to serve Krishna and Sri Radharani. And as if we are genuine followers of Radharani, then this should be our role model, to use ourselves for Krishna's service. To not use the eyes for seeing anything mundane, the television, the mundane hoardings, the bad things of this world which are forbidden to be seen, to touch the forbidden things which are not to be touched, to not really speak the things which are forbidden to be spoken about. So this is something which we have to be very careful as sincere servant of Srimati Radharani. Right? This is a very important story to reveal the sanctity of the use of this body in their service. Anyway, as she grows, and there are various beautiful leelas given and her pastimes are described, she has 25 beautiful qualities. Of course, she has unlimited of them, but 25 are described by the acharyas. Right? The primary quality of Srimati Radharani is her compassion. That is the prime object by which she is actually full of compassion. So it is said that Radharani does two things simultaneously. One is she pleases Krishna by her transcendental service, and second is she nourishes the devotees. Bhaktera Poshana. Right, so we say that Krishna is the source of all the avatars, all the three Purusha avatars, all the avatars, everything is born from Krishna. And from Radharani's side are born the gopis, the queens of Dwarka, right, and the Lakshmis. So queens of Dwarka, the Lakshmis in Vaikuntha, and the gopis, the Lakshmis, and the queens of Dwarka are all born from Radharani's side. But the power to please Krishna, that ability to love Krishna, comes from Srimati Radharani. So when she blesses a person, what is the meaning of saying that Radharani nourishes the devotees? When she really blesses the devotees with the potency to please Krishna, that is her nourishment. We can't really serve Krishna unless Radharani blesses us. So the blessing is what? Her blessing is devotional service. Devotional service which we all perform, whether it is stringing a garland or putting pujari work or distributing a book or making a nice jula for the Lord or cooking for the Lord, all these devotional services are blessings of Srimati Radharani. So therefore a devotee learns with this meditation that serving Deva service is never a chore, it's not a mundane thing, it's not even a burden. It is the greatest blessing of Sri Radha upon a Jivatma to be able to render service to Krishna. Right? So every act of service is taken with that element of deep gratitude that this is something which I have been given by the Lord to serve Sri Krishna. So it's the blessing of Srimati Radharani. So every service which you all render, the service of speaking, of hearing, of kirtan, everything in the realm of Krishna consciousness is the blessing of Srimati Radharani. And nothing is high and nothing is low. Whether it's giving a pravachan or distributing 100 million books or just sweeping the floor or cleaning the toilets of the devotees, everything, or making crowd control in a yatra, or holding just a simple arrow. Yatras have this simple arrow where this says, okay, go this side. So in this, holding a simple arrow at a road junction or a signal, that also is a service to Srimati Radharani's devotees. Right? So nothing is ordinary in Krishna consciousness. As I said before, it's only thing ordinary is our consciousness. So how do we really learn to approach Sri Radharani properly? How do we learn to do that? So we'll discuss a few minutes about this important subject. We approach Srimati Radharani only and only through Lord Chaitanya. It's very important to understand that. That these two personalities, Radha and Krishna, have come together in the mood of Lord Chaitanya. It starts with Madhavendra Puri actually. Madhavendra Puri is a person who first brought this mood of love for Srimati Radharani into this world. Before Madhavendra Puri, in the Sampradaya, there was no mention or understanding of Radharani at all. It was only worshiping Krishna in Aishwarya Bhav. But we can see a very important leela took place. That Madhavendra Puri was old and he became sort of apparently invalidated by his sickness and he was bedridden in an apparent state of helplessness of his body. Then a very special person comes and serves him. That is Sri Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri's service to Madhavendra Puri is so glorified. He would clean his stool and his urine and bathe his body like a humble menial servant. And he would read the pasams of Krishna for the pleasure of his Guru Maharaj. This is a very important pastime for sadhakas to understand that only when we go into the mode of menial service to the Vaishnavas, you are blessed by a spiritual master. And the blessings are so great and so powerful, the Supreme Lord, the combination of Radha Krishna, comes in this world as a disciple of Ishwarapuri. Such important pastime. God becomes the disciple of a person who becomes a humble servant of a spiritual master. That is the way to approach Radha Krishna. As far as our sadhana is concerned, our sadhana is not the fullest means of attaining Radha Krishna. We stress on sadhana all the time, but please understand that in itself is not complete in itself to attract the mercy of Radha and Krishna. Then what do we attract the mercy of Radha Krishna? We get it only by the power of one thing, that is called as grace, kripa. Only grace is our qualification to approach Radha Krishna. We can never barge into Radha Krishna. We can never barge into Lord Chaitanya also. But we are seeking for grace. So today actually Radhashtami is such a pure day. The whole day is the manifestation of Sri Radha. The whole day, like we have a deity form of the Lord. So this like a deity in time is Radhashtami, is Radharani. This whole 24 hours of today's day is deity in time, embodiment in time. Therefore, this whole day is not different from the same Radhashtami which was there so many years ago when the Radharani was born in this world. The whole day is worshipable. Whatever we do today is wonderfully received by the Lord and Srimati Radharani. Right? So, how do we get this grace? Now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please try to understand this very carefully. Lord Chaitanya is the embodiment of unlimited grace. So, when we approach Lord Chaitanya, we come to the area of, in the zone of grace. Our sadhana is only required to the extent to come into the zone of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grace. And the rest will be taken over by the grace factor. So to perform our sadhana in such a way to attract Lord Chaitanya's grace is the only purpose of our sadhana. And it what brings it into the zone or the area of Lord Chaitanya's grace. What is the type of sadhana required? The most important ingredient which brings us into the zone of Lord Chaitanya's grace, which is the access point for Radha and Krishna, is the bhav of being a sevak. Only when we think of ourselves as nothing else but a humble menial servant, we enter the zone of Lord Chaitanya's grace. Only service. Therefore the only quality required is the quality of humility. Humility is the only qualifier to attack Lord Chaitanya's grace. It is not our scholarship, not a mantra ucharas, not our dips in the holy rivers, and not our all that we do. If it is not associated with humility, it does not attract Krishna's grace. Why is humility stressed again and again and again in Lord Chaitanya's movement? And why is this third verse of Shishastakam so very important for all of us? We always say Trinadapi Sunichena Taroriva Saishtuna Amanina Manadina Kirtan Sadari. Why is this verse among all the billions of verses in so many scriptures? How has this verse become the most important verse? The most worshipful verse is this verse, the third verse of Shishastakam. Why is it the most glorified of all verses in all the scriptures? There's a very important reason. We are in this material world because of false ego, which dictates the desire to enjoy. Radhana Swami Maharaj explains that as a materialist we enjoy the things of this world, and sometimes as a neophyte devotee we enjoy things in Krishna consciousness. We enjoy darshan of the Lord, we enjoy yatras, we enjoy kirtans, we enjoy kathas. This spirit of enjoyment is an admixture of Prakrita Sahajiya Bhav. Sounds very astounding. Till we do not eliminate the last tinge of enjoying Krishna, we are not in the camp of Srimati Radharani. Very powerful statement was made by him. We are not here to enjoy Krishna consciousness. Of course, there may be a higher level of understanding. For a neophyte, if he tells us, well, then I don't want to be here. For a newcomer, enjoy prasad, enjoy kirtan. We welcome the newcomers to come. And to their come in the fold of Krishna consciousness, right? But as you go further in a higher realm of thought, to think that I want to be here because it gives me pleasure, we are still millions of miles away from Sri Radha. When we start thinking, what can I do to give Krishna pleasure? Then we enter somewhere closer to Srimati Radharani's grace. And when devotees come to the platform where they only breathe, they only live, they only exist to serve Krishna and the devotees, when they come in that platform of thought process, then actually they are very close to Radha Krishna. Even if it comes to the cost of dying for them, to go into a state of infamy for them, to lose your health for them, to lose everything of this world for them, when you come to that modality of worship, you are close to Radha Krishna. The pastime in this regard is the headache of Krishna. Right? Krishna gets a transcendental headache which no kerosene can subdue. No kerosene can subdue Krishna. Krishna's headache is transcendental. Narayana said, what should I do for you, my dear Lord? What is the cure for this headache? Since Krishna's headache is transcendental, the remedy also is very transcendental. You must get the dust of the feet of my devotees. And you have balm, apply, you have a balm. So the dust to be applied on my head. This will cure my headache immediately. No problem. Narada Muni is off for serving the Lord. Goes to Dwarkapuri. All the queens are gathered. Krishna is having a headache. Really? Krishna is having a headache? Okay, what herb? What herb should we get? No, he wants the dust of your feet. Dust of our feet. How can we get the dust of our feet? Everyone withdraws from this. They acutely aware about Krishna's suffering. It's an intense headache. More severe than we can ever imagine. And it's real. Krishna is not pretending to have an headache. Please remember. It's actually a real headache. And nothing is going to cure it except the dust. So Rukmini Devi, Satyabhama and everybody else withdraw. Said, if we give Krishna, he's our Lord, he's our master. How can we get the dust of our feet to him? If we give to him, only thing which awaits us is hell. So there are so many devotees, and he comes back and says, well, I've told everybody about your problem, but they are saying that they will all go to hell, and you know they don't want to give the dust of their feet. So Krishna says, headache is increasing, even more intense. So did he go to Vrindavan? He go to Vrindavan. Tell the gopis about my headache. And the gopis are sitting there, Krishna is in Dwarka, they've been waiting for Krishna to come for over 100 years now. And their eyes are sort of just looking in the direction of Dwarka, and from that same direction, from the same horizon, they see Narada Muni coming. He said, Narada Muni, where are you coming from? You must be coming from Dwarka. He said, yes. How is our Krishna? The only thought is about Krishna. They are Krishna Mai. Complete absorption in Krishna. There's no other thought. Where is my mobile? You know what happens? You know, you've seen that the moment you get up in the morning, my mobile kivare. We don't say, where is Krishna? And Kothai Krishna? And go do something like that. Hey Radhe Braja Devi ke, hey Lalite, hey Nanda Sunna Kuta. Where are you, my dear Krishna? Where are you, my dear Radharani? What is our bhav? Where is my mobile? Where is my iPad? You know, where is my bead bag? Of course, we say that, where is my bead bag? Because we don't know where we keep it. So this is our viraha bhav. Perversion. The stupid mobile has become our, you know, our Krishna. Right, so this is our viraha bhav. So fallen that we are. And how much we get panicked, all of us might say, when you lose your mobile, you become so frantic, right? It's like your life is going to be drawn up. Where's my mobile? It's like your life is going to be drawn away from you. Intense asakti. So sorry, state of affairs. So, said, do you want dust from our feet? Take it right now. Are you sure? You know, Krishna, he is worshipped by Mahadev and Brahma and Anantashesh also. All the rishis are worshipping him. He is the Lord of all lords. And the only punishment that can come upon somebody who gives the, you know, who puts his head on the Lord. Now, can you imagine putting our head on Radha Gopinath? We don't want to put our head on the, our leg on the altar also. That is a, you know, platform. And we don't even hold the pillar to even climb the altar because it is the body of Ananda Shesha. Right? So we have to be so careful on the altar to not, you know, should not sneeze or cough or touch anything bad, or if you touch your own cloth, your own dhoti or sari, then you have to wash your hands with Achpan 3 times and then again touch the Lord's paraphernalia. That's how important and pure the altar is. And imagine thinking, putting your head on Gopinath. Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. Right? And the gopis are saying, and they of course know philosophy more than us. Right? Many of them were great yogis of the past in the Dandakaranya forest. They are Rishichari gopis. They are purest of the purest of the pure. And when they saw Sri Ram, they wanted to, you know, have a relationship with him in conjugal ras. So they are so pure, they are transcendental. They know all philosophy and more. Right? So they are not ordinary mundane people. Said, take the dust, take bags full of dust. And what is the reply to Narada Muni's question? When they are informed that you will go to hell for this. The gopis tell, we do not go to hell for our entire time of eternity. If it gives Krishna relief from headache for 1 second. This is the exalted nature of the love of the gopis of Vrindavan. There is not just a nice story, but the amount of impact the story has to have on our heart. It is this quality of surrender, utmost surrender of your life. What about losing your health and infamy? You don't mind going to hell. So we know what hell is, right? Of course, I think we don't know what hell is. We know what the Bombay is, which is as good as hell. But what is hell? And what is living in hell for 1 second? What is living in hell for a lifetime of Brahma? And being there to give Krishna relief for headache for 1 second. So this is the quality of sadhana. That when sadhana is such that we are willing to live and die for Krishna's pleasure, that is the realm of Radharani's grace. Two powerful examples. Sri Ramchandra ji was in the forest of forest of Dandakaranya. And this powerful demon Ravan kidnaps Srimati Radharani's expansion as Mother Sita. Who is that devotee who goes to save Mother Sita? It is an insignificant vulture, a lowly bird, Jatayu. Jatayu swoops upon Ravan with talons and his powerful beak and his wings. He smashes the chariot, kills the charioteer and destroys the horses, and even pulls off his armor. He is very old person, 60,000 years old person. He has no strength. When he was young, he could circumambulate the sun also. But now he is so old and he is about to die. And Mother Sita is crying, please, 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 do not do this. And Jatayu cannot allow Mother Sita abducted in front of his own eyes. It would be such a blasphemy to have a daitya pulling away the object of his love and worship. And he keeps on fighting with this powerful young Ravana who has hot mystic powers. And Jatayu gets exhausted. And Ravana sees that he just chops off his wings and cuts off his legs. In a pool of blood, bleeding profusely, Jatayu falls to the ground, breathing his end. And what is the glory of Jatayu? The Lord Ramchandra comes from the same forest, looking for Mother Sita along with Lakshman. We know the story, right? First he didn't identify Jatayu, but then he's saying Ram, Ram, Ram. He's chanting Ram's name. Ram, at that time, Lord Ramchandra holds Jatayu in his own hands, puts him on his lap, right? Said, you will go today to my eternal abode. The thing which he did not do for his own father, he put in one sense Jatayu even higher than his own father by giving to Antindi sanskar of Jatayu. This is the quality of a devotee of Srimati Radharani. We should also mention today a very important personality. Radharani is, as we said before, the Ladini Shakti of Krishna, is it not? We should be talking about Ladini Devi also. In a few days from now, today is Ekadashi, today is Ashtami, in 3 days will be Indira Ekadashi. And we do not want to lose the opportunity of remembering that person again, who was one of the finest devotees of Radha and Krishna in this world, in the moment of ISKCON, Ladini Devidasi, a very, very dear disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Her life is glorious, but in this context of today's narration, how selfless devotees become. As you all know the story, some of you may have seen the performance also, which was there, which was performed on her. It was a terrible time in South Africa, and there was dictators who were there. And the devotees were so fearless that even the dictator ruled with so much of massive, savage, brutal warfare. People are being killed. There are 7 warring factions. People are killing each other. There are dictators there. A complete chaos. There's no food, no water, nothing. Devotees are risking their lives, walking through all this war field with prasadam packets in their hands, giving to the wounded people who are dying and the soldiers who are dying. They can hear bullets whisking through their ears, and they're walking in the road. Can you imagine this? Is what ISKCON devotees have done to preach? Walking through a war field, giving prasadam to dying devotees, dying people. And the leader of all this inspiration was coming from Ladini Devi. She was the leader, she was an inspirational force. And then of course, the story is very long, but she was preaching to kings in South Africa, to big ambassadors, dignitaries. She was on a TV show, doing so much massive preaching in the tutelership of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, like their assistant, because Bhakti Maharaj was in charge of serving Prabhupada in Africa. And a call came from America, that all Americans who are in Africa should leave that country, because there's a riot there, there's a political riot, there's a coup there, right? So everyone should leave. Ladini Mataji could have left Africa for the safety of her life in the ship which was designed only to take Americans from there back to US. She did not deliberately go. She didn't want to leave the service of the devotees. And a crazy dictator, one Mr. Johnson, Prince Johnson was his name, he became so vexed at the devotees for some comment which they had made on him. And on one, he was just beginning to get a little favorable, but then you know these demons are so crazy, the mind can just change in a moment. So they attacked the temple in Liberia, a small country in Africa, South Africa, in the middle of the night. They ransacked the temple, pulled out the devotees, abducted them and took them to the riverside. You know the story, right? And all lined up in a row. Ladini Mataji was there. Another Mataji was there, Yogamaya. So Johnson said, "I will not kill the women. Women should leave. I'll kill only these male devotees." So the other Mataji, Yogamaya, left. The logical thing to do is to just leave that place, because someone wanted to kill you on the gunpoint. Anybody would have done just that is the most wise thing to do. Correct? Somebody giving you a chance, "I'm going to kill you, only just leave this place and I won't kill you." What will we do? Obviously we will leave that place. It's the most natural biological instinct to live. You just leave that place. Ladini Mataji did not leave. She stayed there. So you cannot kill the devotees in front of me. Your bullets have to pass through my body. So she stood there and she was shot. And all the devotees were shot. This is the glory of someone who becomes eligible to get the mercy of Radha and Krishna. Nothing cheap, nothing ordinary, nothing mundane. The willingness to die for Krishna. Maharaj explains in one beautiful lecture, to get Radha Krishna you must first die. A great devotee called Hayagriva Das, Prabhupada disciple, said, "Die to live. This day is to learn this art of dying to live." What does that mean? To die to live means to kill the false ego. The desire to enjoy separate from Krishna is our worst enemy. If we don't destroy this false ego, the power of humble, menial self to the Vaishnavas, we can never go to Radha Krishna. We can never end up Vrindavan. We will never understand Braja Bhakti. No matter how many kathas we attend on the subject, no matter how many vilas we will hear from the 10th canto, we can never enter that zone of pure love. It's not just by meditating on Radha Krishna that we enter Radha Krishna's Leela. It's not an object of meditation, like the sages will teach us. We can only access them through humble menial service. Humility is that anupan. Like when you have given medicine, you give anupan along the medicine. So the medicine, the anupan carries the medicine along with it and makes the medicine more effective. Like you give honey along with a particular medicine, The honey carries medicine into the body, into the cells. Right? So humility is that anupan. When the medicine of Shuddha, when the medicine of Harinam is coated with the anupan of humility, then and then only the Harinam becomes effective. If we don't coat our service with the ample salve, with the ample balm, with the ample lotion and lubricant of humility, the Harinam will go and water the weeds of anarthas in our heart. And the arrogant devotee becomes more arrogant when he chants Hare Krishna. A proud devotee becomes even more proud when he chants Hare Krishna. Because the Harinam is watering the weeds of pride and ego and lust in his heart. Only when we coat Harinam with the balm of pure humility. And what is humility? I am nothing, I will be nothing, and I want to be nothing. Then the humble, menial servant of the servant of the servant of the pure devotees of Radha and Krishna. When that and that alone is our mood within our heart, only then the service offered of whatever nature it may be pleases Radha and Krishna. So that is the most important lesson to learn today. To be begging Radharani today. Today is a day for begging. I remember we went to Barsana with Radhanath Swami years ago, and that emotion is very powerful in the mind still. How Maharaj beautifully and extremely effectively created the mood of the pilgrims at that time who were there. That we are standing in front of Radharani's Ladilal temple, said, we are all here as beggars. We have only, and what is a beggar? A beggar has no qualification. He just puts his pallu out and says, give me, please give me. And the only thing is, if the just somehow the person passing by, if it just feels bad for you enough, he said, okay, take a rupee or two. It's nothing else. It's no qualification that I've been not eating for a few days. No qualification. He just has to impress the person passing by that I am desperate for some mercy from you. That's it. So today is a day for that begging. Begging for what? Begging for the same mood in which she serves Krishna. She serves Krishna with complete humility of her heart. She doesn't want to enjoy Krishna even a bit. She wants to just simply give pleasure to Krishna through her words, through her dance, through her singing, through her dress, through her smile, through her glances. She wants to just give pleasure to Krishna. And expect nothing for herself. So when we expect nothing for ourselves, and we want to give and give and give and give. That humility of heart is what we want to beg Radharani for today. And if we beg in this way, today she is going to be extra merciful. She's already born as Lord Chaitanya, and who is the ocean of mercy. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Govratushe Namaha. He's already giving Krishna to everybody. All that is required is this sense of begging, of humility. And then Krishna will flood your hearts. Radha will flood our hearts with this particular bhav, which is similar to her bhav. And this is bhav alone which will carry us to the land of Braja, the land of pure love. So we are very, very grateful today to our beloved acharyas for giving us this beautiful day to celebrate. We'll be watching Abhishek now, and we have this beautiful, nice, look at the altar today. It is even more Vrindavan than before. It is already Vrindavan, but it is even more Vrindavan. We have the Kadamba tree here, beautifully, Radharani's favorite tree, Krishna's favorite tree. Then we have a Chiku tree there. Did you know that Krishna's, Radharani's favorite fruit is Chiku? So there's a Chiku tree there. And if you hear from the altar, there are nice peacocks which are, you know, chirping there, being cooing sounds there. And I also was told to us to announce that today the prasad which is prepared, the bhoga is offered to the Lord for the devotee's pleasure, for all the preparations done for Radharani, consists of 900 special liters of milk which has brought from Pathmeda, which is one of the purest cows in the land of Rajasthan, probably the purest cows in India. the natural breed. So 900 liters of milk has been brought to serve the Vaishnavas and to serve their divine couple. So this was all arranged by Tulsi Priya Prabhu, who is one of our great lovers of the Lord. So let us rise in a few minutes now. Oh, no, we don't rise, sorry, we have to sit. And let our consciousness rise today. Let us hope that consciousness rises to a higher level today's day. And today our Anantai Prabhu also is happily announcing the release of two, but they're actually one, right? No, this is like Radha Krishna, two, but they are one. This is two, but actually they are one. So there's one CD release, a very special CD which Prabhu has prepared, and you have to say something about this?
Yeah. So this new CD I have made, this is called Divine Ashtakam. So there are seven Ashtakam. I had made eight Ashtakam, but it could not fit in this CD. So I had to only write seven Ashtakam. But on the website, it is, there are eight Ashtakam available. So the eighth you can take from the website, iskondesiretreat.com, and free. So I would like request on this auspicious day of Radha Ashtami, His Grace Dwarkadish Prabhu to kindly release this CD, Divine Ashtakam. There are eight Ashtakam: Madhura Ashtakam, Sachitana Ashtakam, Achyuta Ashtakam, Damodar Ashtakam, Madan Mohan Ashtakam, Bal Mukund Ashtakam, and Sachisut Ashtakam. And another one, the eighth one is Brajarasut Ashtakam. So these eight Ashtakams I have made. So this CD is available downstairs at Radha Gopinath Media Services. So you can get the CDs from there. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Srimati Radharani ki, Barsana Dham ki, Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki, Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Much more loud with more devotion, as Maharaj says. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. And the loudest possible sound. Jai Jai Sri Radhe.
जय श्री राधाष्टमी महामहोत्सव की जय जय श्री राधे श्याम नमः विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नित्य नामिने